This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here we go. Hour 4, G-Bag Nation. We are live at Rally House in Arlington. One $100 gift card remains. I want to see a longtime Tolo come up here and take your shot at winning it. Just give me 11 of the 13 names that have served for the G-Bag Nation all time. 13 of us going all the way back to 2010. Okay, now, of course, you have the five-man crew here, and all of us count. Lucius, Broadus, Wolchuk, Chiafalo, myself, Gavin Dawson. You got to come up with 6 others. It is time now for Eric Chiafalo to give you some Rangers audio extravaganza to get you ready for opening day. Here he is, the Chief.
That's right, boys and girls. 24 hours from right now, we might be basking in Rangers victory glory. I mean, with the pitch clock, this could be a 2-0-2 kind of game, and boom, we're in, we're out, we're rocking, we're rolling. That would suck for me and the prospects of putting down the two-footer boomstick burger Friday,
that
because it all depends on the length of tomorrow's game is going to be how much time I'm allotted during the show on Friday to house that bad boy.
I think you'll be okay. My prediction is I think this game's going to go pretty quick the first 5 innings with no and DeGrom, but it always slows down once you get into the bullpen.
Yes. Let's get that bullpen
220, that'll start on Friday. Chief's going to try to take down that boomstick burger.
Dang right.
That's going to be amazing.
Trying, and the plan is to succeed, ladies and gentlemen, but it's time to get our bodies ready for opening day. It's going to be incredible. DeGromination, KNC Masterpiece, 10 to 230, right there at center field, right here on your home of the Rangers. This is beautiful. Swing through Rally House in Arlington. Say what's up. Pick up your Rangers gear. They got the top of the line Rangers gear and all sporting gear as well. So Rally House party with us. We got some sound to play. Okay, I put together a nice little. I mean, well, we did the hard hitting baseball questions throughout spring training.
We sure did.
And there's a very good chance that a couple of people maybe had to miss it for whatever it is. Tomorrow's opening day.
Shame
let's,
on you.
Let's
if
get
that's
you.
The case. Yeah.
Let's get you up to speed on all things Rangers. All the nitty gritty. Ins and outs, X's and O's.
You're bleeping baseball guys.
Like, the next few minutes are really just for the hardcore seam heads. That's what this is about.
This is hardcore.
We have to shout out one person in particular as we pay homage to him with the montage that will ensue. But shout out to Chris Arnold for this amazing moment that led to insane amount of content in the clubhouse.
Come around.
Yeah, chicks love the dong ball.
Yeah.
mark that.
Yeah.
We marked
Jared
it, KG.
Just goes, yeah.
just one more time for us, Medford. What was that from CA there?
Come around.
Yeah, chicks love the dong ball.
Yeah.
He said it definitively.
Yeah.
We went into the clubhouse. We had our investigative journalist hats on, and we tried to get to the bottom of that. And other things, here is your 2023 opening day Ranger montage.
I'm looking at those pecs right now.
I do push-ups. Do a lot of push-ups.
Okay, I can see that.
So does Wolchuk.
Me too. You can tell. The chesticles are out to play.
I feel like when Brock Burke sees a wall, he just runs right through it.
Yeah, big run through the wall. Brick wall kind of guy.
Thanks to Bochy now, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Would you say that you're a grower or a shower?
Grower. I'd have to say that.
Yeah, same here.
I haven't been to a Sonic in forever.
Go F yourself.
Who is your celebrity crush?
Right now or like growing up?
Both.
Megan Fox right now and growing up.
How do you expect steroids to help you personally this year?
Steroids? I don't feel like I need them sometimes, but also recovery, you know, they're always nice to have.
Okay, do chicks dig the dong ball?
See, I wouldn't know. I've been married for too long. Game's changed.
The dong was in the home run. I mean, I don't know the dong ball. I know there's that famous commercial where they have, I think, Maddox and somebody else in it. And
just dongs everywhere.
Yeah. And I have no idea about the dong ball, but I mean, I'm guessing they love home runs.
What do you think about my guy's sausage fingers right here?
Great for bocce ball.
Girth or tonnage?
Ooh, girth.
Is that the first time you've ever told a guy not to wrap it up?
Yes.
All right, what's the one thing you'd like to say to Jared Sandler right now?
Haven't met him, but what a worthless piece of garbage.
2 inches of height or 2 inches of length?
2 inches of length.
You ever had a Texas cream pie?
Every day.
Nice. Good for you.
Yeah, I got married, so.
Oh, dang it.
No, dang it. That's good. That's good.
That's a good thing. No, yeah, well, yeah. Congratulations, of
and
course,
her
on the
name
marriage.
Is Megan.
Too, oh, so we got Megan on Megan.
And she sounds like a fox.
I'm just here to, collect some checks and throw some baseballs.
How do you expect steroids to help you personally this year?
Just being sick and stuff, taking, the steroids, the legal steroids.
Are you going McGriddle or are you getting the burritos with
sausage,
me?
Sausage, egg, McMuff.
Is that your favorite kind of muff?
Yeah.
What's your favorite kind of hole?
A hole in one.
What's the one thing you'd like to say to Jared Sandler?
I wish you'd invite me to hockey games and not big league me.
And he can go f*** himself.
Yeah, and he can go f*** himself.
Okay, fantastic stand-up, ladies and gentlemen. Is there anything you'd like to say to our guy, Jared Sandler?
Yeah, Jared, go f*** yourself.
Fantastic. Joe Barlow, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just here to, collect some checks and throw some baseballs.
Go Rangers!
Wow. Wow, you guys.
Coach O, baby. Coach O
go
at the
Rangers.
End.
Go Rangers!
That's the best job I've ever seen covering spring training right there.
Man, we had a ball.
Oh,
we
awesome.
Really, we had a dong ball. Maybe
we did.
Maybe a couple of them. So there is there's a little something to get the blood flowing.
It's
and
just
then,
so shocking that when you hear him back to back like that.
Oh,
it was just like
point. I mean, at the time when it was happening, we were all like going, oh. Yeah, and then now it's just kind of ooh.
Yeah. A lot of inappropriate questions.
Yeah,
of course,
exactly.
Five days.
It's like,
we were super inappropriate.
All the stuff that you got away with.
Josh Smith ended the interview and goes, "You guys are crazy."
And he just walked off.
I'll never forget. We were in the middle of it with Josh Smith and Evan Grant came over to get some hardcore baseball content and then just walked right away about 5 seconds into the proceedings.
Now, you haven't heard from them since we left, right, Chief?
No, not okay. Me personally.
I was wondering about some sanctions or a press pass revocation based on your multiple rule violations.
Yeah, I do wonder if we do a G-Bag Nation takes on Globe Life Field kind of production like KNC's going to do tomorrow.
Might be an off day for you.
You guys leave Eric back in
yeah,
studio.
This might
John
be a
Blake goes,
schedule
hey, listen,
off day.
Yeah, you can take the Napoli guy and put him somewhere else. You know?
I love the idea of a bet payoff of you intentionally going in and sitting on that couch. Couch, though.
Man.
That would be great.
Because they
or
freaked
showering,
out.
Or just walking into the shower.
The shower.
And turning it on.
I don't even know where the shower is in there.
Yeah, it's a good point. We might have to ask Jared the whereabouts of the shower.
Do you think they might? I mean, because you're only like 29, 30, they might just think you're like the new young guy.
See, if it would have been like spring
they're
training.
Center fielder.
If we would have done it during spring training, like from the jump when there's, a litany of dudes that are there and nobody can fully know everybody on the team, might have been able to get away
with
it.
Who is this
man.
Guy?
Yeah, but it's like, I guess.
Oh, you don't remember me? I was at Round Rock last
year.
You just got to act like it.
Wait a minute. Do you think you
just
could,
brought me in.
Do you think you could pull it off that you would be a baseball like you could go in and sit down and think like these dudes don't know me but you could like
I'll tell you dude I would feel that way with the players that have no these clubbies
the clubbies
I'll
know.
Tell you
they
what
they know you the clubbies
they know who's coming in.
And we love you because they're big tolos as
like you're talking about these yellow jacket guys out there on the on the diamond get one of these clubbies out of the clubhouse and put him for the streaker. Okay, because these guys, they are a different breed.
Yeah.
The clubbies are out, and they're on the prowl, and
they're very
to
territorial.
Take down.
They're like a mama bear protecting their den.
They
were swarming me like sharks whenever I was on the couch, and I was
doing
just too
job.
Oblivious to, like, really, doing their job, absolutely. And then, but, like, looking back, I'm like, oh, yeah. There,
like,
I guess
Rich, say the word.
A lot
you want
of
us to take them out?
They had their index finger at their ear, like, hearing in the earpiece. They were ready to full-on go.
But do you think you could pull off, like, do you think you could pull it off, being, like, going in and being, like a sitting down and thinking,
just make throw it, a make fat it, lipper in. And,
well, yeah, make the players think that you actually are a real player.
I mean, I don't know if
like
I
a Ranger
get,
hat on.
No,
I'll
get
have to
them
really
dressed
get
up.
Into
Let's
character.
Get a uniform.
Yeah, we get you geared up here at Rally House, and then like.
No, it's not a bad idea. That's not
bullpen
a bad idea.
Bullpen jacket.
Some shades on, you know, hat on. I bet we could do this
I think
this
you
thing.
Could pull it off.
I bet we could.
I'll give Homeck another shot.
All right, so one of our favorite things, and especially mine in the nosebleed seats, was just pestering Jared throughout our baseball conversations and our Ranger conversations. Sometimes they were unintentional. Sometimes they were full-on intentional. So we can run through the gambit of some of our fun clips here. The first one is there was a word I was trying to find. We were discussing Nate Lowe. It was after a great Nate Lowe game. A little extra innings, hanging out with Jared. And there was just a word that I couldn't figure out in my mind. Jared, how about Nate Lowe? I wanted to ask you about Nate Lowe and what he's been able to do early on in his Rangers his Rangers, joining this team.
Career? Tenure? Stint?
Tenure, bro. Stint would have worked, but tenure was certainly the word that I was searching for.
I wasn't sure if that was a nefarious one.
What are you doing? You're not even helping him?
Sometimes your teammates are incompetent.
What am I supposed to do?
I know.
Sometimes they're incompetent?
Yeah, no, and my own incompetence.
Oh, I thought you were
talking about me. There was no saving me.
I didn't know where he was trying to go. Yeah, I mean, I took a question off. Thank God.
This next one.
he was swiping his Tinder or something.
Yeah, I was probably on Hinge.
I'm losing weight now.
Here I am. Look at me.
Look at me.
7 pounds lighter, sexy as hell.
Now, that was unintentional incompetence. This next one was intentional, and Jared did not like it.
Oh, no.
Would you like him more if his name was actually Carrot Goal?
No.
You wouldn't.
I've never thought of that, and I probably will never think about that ever again after I answer this question.
No.
Garrett Cole? He's so baseball serious. I think we had just played Garrett Cole in whatever game, and so I was just farting out an 11:30 p.m. question.
It was.
After a Ranger game.
It was back when he was still an Astro, and we were kind of hoping, like, maybe the Rangers will get him in the offseason. So Eric fires that off. And, Jared had a huge man crush on him, too.
Yeah. He was borderline offended. I do think if his name was Carrot Gold, there's no way he's as good a pitcher as he is right now.
No, not at all.
That
or
holds
Cole
you back.
Garrett.
Yeah, or Cole Garrett.
Yeah, it ain't going to work like that.
We did this. Now, we just have a drop of this, but we did Texas Live, a hot stove show a few years back when Don Wakamatsu was one of the coaches, and he was our sit-down interview. We had just interviewed him.
This is out of Texas Live.
And we come back
like
the next
Rangers
break.
Hot stove.
Yeah, we come back the next break, and I just, like, want to shout out Don Wakamatsu, but I brain farted. I couldn't say his name properly. This is the only drop we have from this, but this is what I tried to say. Makuwatsa.
Wow.
It's Wakamatsu.
Interim big league skipper.
Interim big league skipper. He's got plenty of skins on the wall.
Again, had a stint with the Mariners.
There's no excuse for this. You can hear me leaking confidence with the question mark at the end of it. If you
Makuwatsa.
Yeah.
Now, were you looking at a spelling of that, or were you going off memory?
I was going off memory.
Yeah,
okay.
And he just looks at me like, Makuwatsa.
Interviewed him for like 12 minutes?
I got caught up in the air, dude. I'm telling you. And then I was like, no, I've committed to Don. I should have just went Coach Don.
Coach Don for joining us. Great job, Don.
You do what I do, though, when you think you have a baseball take, but you're not sure. You kind of shrug your shoulders and look at Zach. Is that Makuwatsu? Help me out, buddy.
Let's see. Actually, I forgot that I could do this impression because he's not here anymore.
You can still do it.
Chris Woodward. This is my Chris Woodward legal ID impression.
This is Rangers manager Chris Woodward, and you're listening to the home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan, KRLD-FM, and HD1, Dallas-Fort Worth. Never ever quit, guys.
Walchuk joined in on the Banny never ever quit.
Banny had much better pipes for broadcasting, that's for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, he did.
And
yeah.
No one's beaten Bochy with the broadcaster pipes,
no.
Man.
No,
I cannot wait to hear Bochy's.
Yeah.
We're going to get that. That should be playing soon.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be hearing a lot of Bochy. I mean, it was fun to hear him interact with Matt Hicks in the pregame show the other day. And I believe it's every Tuesday with the KNC Masterpiece all season long.
They compare his voice to the Sam Elliott guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's crazy because at the beginning stages of The Fan, we were actually hunting Sam Elliott, trying to get him to be our voice.
Oh,
that cool?
Really?
Yeah.
That
ended up with this cool voice guy.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Oh, no, he's good. Yeah.
Yeah, they were like, man, this guy would sound amazing for
Roadhouse. Yeah. Just get the it's Google Roadhouse.
Sam Elliott is that
dude. Sam Elliott
dude.
Is good. Yeah.
I could believe it, man.
It was funny listening to Bochy with the manager's interview. The second segment, right, Matt says goodbye and he signs off. And it was funny listening to Boch try and think of Matt's name. He's like, thank you very much, Matt.
Sure.
Makuwatsa.
Did I get that right? It is Matt, right?
He's not a big media guy, right? I'm hoping we get our regular manager interviews, but I'm not banking on it yet. He's a very accomplished skipper.
I think we're getting a Tuesday manager show with
Let's
KNC
go.
Match piece. I think we're actually going to nail
You're
that
just
in.
You're kind of willing that right
I'm
now.
I'm willing that to victory. I sure
you got
am.
This boat. You can
Same
do
way
it.
I'm willing us to victory right now for tomorrow's opening day. This is maybe the most exciting eve of opening day we've had in a long time. Al outside of the COVID one when baseball got rescheduled and we were waiting. When are we going to get? Are we going to get baseball? When are we going to get it? So this goes back to the COVID times. We had Jared on the night before opening day, much like right now, and I just couldn't figure out how to ask him the question of, like, encapsulating this opening day excitement.
Is this like the night before first day of school vibes for you? Is this like the most or one of the most excited eve of opening day you've ever been?
Sorry.
Jared's reactions.
Oh, Jared's reaction.
These, man.
MVP, bro. I'm looking forward to talking with Jared here. And, of course, he'll be on with us every segment before the pregame show. 6:15 most nights.
That's right. Brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing.
Well, thanks for letting us laugh at your gaffes.
Hey, my pleasure, man. Yeah. My pleasure. And if Matt Hicks would like to say anything right now, then go ahead, Hicksy. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you very much, Eric.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much,
Eric. And shout out to Eric Nadel, because that thanks very much, Eric, was to Eric Nadel, not me, and we are certainly going to miss. I mean, there is going to be an Eric Nadel-sized hole missing for all of us on opening day tomorrow.
Absolutely. Yep. We love you, Eric.
Hurry back. Eric Nadel, Hall of Fame announcer, not starting the season with the Rangers, but you're going to love what Sandler and Hicks have in store for you. And Zach Wolchuk's going to be on the pre- and post-game show before you know it as
well. A week from today.
That's right. Okay, we got the Expressway. 35 minutes of uninterrupted content is brought to you by Rockwall Ford, and we'll get it kick-started with everything that's been breaking. And then Bobby Belt's going to join you here coming up at 5:30 with the latest on the Cowboys today. That's next year, live from Rally House in Arlington off 20 here on 105.3.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Fan. Here we go. Welcome back. It is the G-Back Nation on 105.3 The Fan. It's time to hit the expressway where we get you 35 minutes of uninterrupted content every night here on 105.3 The Fan, home of the Cowboys, home of the Rangers, opening day tomorrow at 3 o'clock. The expressway brought to you by Rockwall Ford, by the way, guys. How we doing?
Doing great.
We do have some local sports news, as Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford have resumed talks for their unification bout. We had news on that 5 or 6 months ago. Our remote engineer here, Ramon Cruz, is a boxer himself. He's wearing a Danny Garcia, Errol Spence, T-shirt. Yeah, from the fight they had at AT&T a while back. And he's a big fan. Obviously, Errol Spence, we're all huge fans of him here in North Texas, but specifically in the G-Bag Nation. He did, like, his first major radio interview with us. He's been in studio with us a couple of times. So we're always tracking DFW stars who can, you know, win championships. And he's the best DFW athlete going. I mean, just one of the best pound-for-pound boxers, an incredible champion. And, you know, unifying and getting a chance to take Terrence Crawford could be like one of the last pieces of his legacy. Is there anything left after that? If Lucius was here, he could, you know, remind us of what
Ramon
those things
was. He
might
was
be.
Nodding his head. Like, yeah. he was kind of like,
yeah,
he
was
last
know
thing
what's
to
up.
Accomplish. Yeah. Last thing to accomplish there for our buddy Errol Spence, getting this Bud Crawford out of the way.
He said he wanted to fight Canelo, but if he can go up that high and do it like Mikey Garcia did, that would be legendary.
Legendary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's go up and get the one of the best of the era as well.
Yeah.
That would be exceptional. You know, right up there with Floyd Mayweather, be one of the only guys to beat him. Okay, Silver is hopeful of an NBA CBA deal by the end of the week. That's the commissioner.
Whoa.
I think this is what you get when you have teams and labor that trust each other. you know, and the NBA has gone out of their way to try to earn the trust of the players, I'd say, way more than they did under David Stern, where it was more of a traditional sports versus labor relationship. But Adam Silver, if you pull that off without any fear of a lockout or a strike, that's one of the greatest accomplishments you could give your fans as a commissioner. It's like, hey, guess what, guys? We're not even going to talk about a holdout. You're not even talking about the negotiations yet. We're going to be done because we just see eye to eye and we come up with square ideas.
I'm going to ask you guys this question because there's rumor that he might become the director of Disney.
Fart.
No, it's true.
Oh, it's true?
No,
it's not true. According to Walchuk.
No, yeah, you just called it a fart right there. But, no, there's – do you think that maybe the basketball, the Players Association are looking at him and they're like, we can't lose this guy?
Silver.
That's amazing.
So
that what
maybe,
a job for him.
Maybe that we, yeah, because there's talking about that he can become the chairman of Disney. He's one of the finalists for this job. And
yeah,
so
I wonder
if the Players Association is like, no, we need to make this as smooth as we can, keep him around. The owners want to keep him, you know, and he doesn't want to leave. You don't want to – I don't know if you want to run a guy off that you have, like, a great relationship with.
No, you don't.
And then, like, the Players Association is going, wait a minute, there could be some guy or gal that comes in here and makes our life hell.
Yeah.
You know, and so maybe that's why we're starting to hear the players are interested in getting something done.
I wonder how all of the owners look at Adam Silver, you know, and if they're super stoked about him because they've made it much more of a player-friendly league. The players are much more in control.
He seems very – and I think that probably that – the governors, the owners of these teams, that they're probably feeling like, hey, if we have labor peace, we can all make money out of this. You know?
Okay, free agent wide receiver Marvin Jones Jr. is heading back to the Detroit Lions where he broke out a couple of years ago. And he's been elsewhere but hasn't been able to perform. It's a one-year, $3 million deal, potentially worth up to $5 million there for Marvin Jones, wide receiver, is back with the Detroit Lions. PGA and LIV golfers not expecting drama at the Masters. This has been one of the most disappointing situations to me with these PGA golfers being so rude to the LIV guys. It's like, to me, you just shouldn't be getting in the way of what somebody wants to do with their own business and their own situation and where they want to play. I mean, we're all doing business with the Middle East. We get our oil, you know. We get products from China. It's like if you want to draw lines in the sand and say, well, you know, you can't be my friend and do business with this country and that country, I would say keep it consistent then. Get your Googles in. Look at all the products you're consuming. Look at all your business relationships and how they might benefit from Middle Eastern money or Chinese production or whatever it is and be consistent. Like, I don't know. I would have wanted to slug somebody last year for them talking about my character for taking a little bit of Saudi money.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sorry, I'm Phil Mickelson. I'm 50 years old. I don't know how many rounds I have to play. I'm trying to stack it up as high as I possibly can in my bank account. You're coming after me? Well, that's weird. Like, you know,
this is just my opinion, and you guys well know, and we have people in Saudi that listen to our show every single day. Huge Cowboy fans, love the show, love the station.
All over the world, yeah,
all over the world, but especially in Saudi. I've been to Saudi.
Yeah,
I have friends.
That's right.
I have friends in Saudi.
It's pretty awesome.
The thing that if you're a professional golfer, you have to know by live showing up with Saudi money made the PGA more of a – they had to grow the pie on the PGA. The people in Ponte Vedra there, the PGA office, the tour and all that, they pretty much had their players in like, okay, we're going to keep – this is prize money is going to be at this level. We're starting to see record – numbers of prize money on the PGA Tour.
So PGA golfers are benefiting from
PGA
LIV.
Golfers are benefiting from LIV and the interest of the Saudi money because,
oh, wow,
because all of a sudden
– bringing everybody up.
Yeah, what used to be a $1.8 million prize is now $2.8 million for a winner.
Yeah.
So we're starting to see that. You know, there's probably not going to ever be where there's too much – you know, the PGA doesn't like Greg Norman. Greg Norman not a fan of what goes on in the PGA, so there's never going to be that marriage. But the one thing that the LIV Tour has done for the PGA Tour, it's grown purses and it's grown the awareness and it's made the PGA Tour get off their ass and take care of their rank and file.
Now, that's a great point. A little competition.
Yeah.
A little competition. Yeah. All of a sudden, maybe you're not looking at the LIV guys as bad because the high tide raised all ships.
Raised all the ships.
Okay, thank you. Brought us that as good perspective. Mark Madsen, former college star, champion with the Lakers. I think he got all three of them with the Lakers with Kobe and Shaq. Author of one of the most awkward parade dances in sports history. You go look at Mark Madsen and some weird celebration stuff he was doing after the 2000 or 2001 title. It's legendary. It went viral back in the day, and that was hard to do. That was pre-social, went viral. It was everywhere.
I'm looking.
But, yeah, he's taking over as coach of the Cal Bears. So that's what's next with Mark Madsen. And it's time now for Bobby Belt to join you here. The Expressway brought to you by Rockwall Ford. And a good evening, Bobby, as we broadcast live from Rally House here in Arlington. How the hell are you?
I'm wonderful. Wish I was there with y'all at Rally House, but I tend to spend way too much money there. So.
Oh, it is a tremendous place for spending money. I think I could drop $300 or $400 here without even thinking about it.
Oh, when I was late on Christmas, I was late doing some Christmas shopping. I think I was actually on the phone with you guys as I was about to walk in there, and I think I ended up spending like $700, so.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. Now, the Cowboys spent a little bit more money today, didn't they, Bob?
They did, bringing in Jonathan Hankins, bringing him back, which I think is a good signing. You see, the way that the run defense improved and became more disciplined when he got here, and then I think you saw how it quickly reverted back whenever he went out with that injury, and then when he came back for the playoff run, you saw that it improved again. So he's clearly an important piece of what they do with their run defense. And, you know, with your linebacker group, I think having some questions about it still, I think that Jonathan Hankins is a nice way to help cover them and a nice way to help boost them a little bit while you're still trying to figure out maybe what you're going to do with the personnel in that group. So it's a good signing. It's a cheap signing. And, I'm all for it.
What are the options at linebacker since you brought it up?
I'm still thinking they're probably going to bring in some sort of a veteran. Obviously, it was never, I don't think anyway, we all agreed that it was not going to be one of these Bobby Wagner type deals in all likelihood. But I would guess they go find another veteran free agent out there. I don't know if he's still one. I know the name I threw out last week, not saying anybody had told me this one, but just an example of this is the kind of guy I'm talking about. Like Damian Wilson was still a free agent mm-hmm. last week. I don't know. I don't believe he's gone anywhere since, but that's the type of player I think you'd be talking about in terms of a veteran addition at linebacker, somebody who could do some special teams, can get some rotation snaps for you, but not a big impact player, and then add to it somewhere in the draft, depending on where the value is. But I mean, pretty consistently over the last several years, the Cowboys come out of the draft somewhere, day one, day two, day three, they come out of it somewhere picking a linebacker.
This might be a difficult question if you don't have it in front of you, but do you know of any linebackers that they've visited with or any buzz about some linebacker prospects they might like?
Not off the top of my head. I know that they met with a couple guys in Indy. I can't remember off the top of my head who they were. They haven't visited any that I've heard any of the bigger linebackers.
Was
They're
Henley,
not visiting
Henley
with Drew
was
Sanders.
One of the guys at the combine. Henley visited with him at the combine. Right?
Washington
I think
State.
So yeah, the Washington State linebacker who I think is really impressive and a guy that I like a lot. They have their Dallas Day workout coming up here on Friday. They've got a couple guys there that they'll bring in. Jimmy
Drew
Phillips,
Sanders.
Yeah, D. Winters, the TCU linebacker. So they've got a few guys that they'll visit there. I think it's just a case of they're not going to chase a linebacker anywhere. I don't think they'll say, man, we got to get a linebacker here. Man, this is a real priority for us. I think they're just going to pick a linebacker wherever the value falls for them, depending on what day that is.
Bob, a question that was asked on the draft show that I asked this morning was speaking of linebackers, Drew Sanders is a name that you mentioned from Arkansas. Choice between Drew Sanders or Nolan Smith from Georgia, if you had a choice at 26? If you had to go those two players.
Maybe this is a sacrilegious question to you and Zach. Where am I playing Nolan Smith? Are you talking about comparing him as a linebacker? Or are you talking about playing him as an edge?
Yeah, playing him at edge.
That was what I said, too, because I think Nolan Smith is more of an edge, and Drew Sanders is a true off-ball linebacker that can give you some pass rush on the edge.
I think I really like Nolan Smith. Nolan Smith is a smaller guy, and I wonder if his future in this league is is as a more blitzing type of linebacker, and not necessarily a full-time edge or, you know, a full-time defensive end, whatever it would be.
Okay.
And so for me, I tell you what, I think the guy that may help you right away, and I know you guys aren't as crazy about him, but I think Drew Sanders would help this team right away. So, I mean, if you're telling me Drew Sanders and Nolan Smith are there, I like Drew Sanders more as a player.
Bobby Belt hanging out with us here in the G-Bag Nation. You said they're not going to reach for a linebacker. Okay, is there a position that you think they might do a little reach for at some point? Maybe not in round one, but what is that position where you feel like if they were going to reach for some, it would be for this one?
You know, it depends, I think, a lot on what they do earlier in the draft. For instance, last year, I think they believe they were happy with it, but I think they believe they reached a little bit on Jake Ferguson. But they felt like if we don't get a linebacker now, or a tight end now, we're not going to be able to get one at our next pick. There's going to be a run here. Same thing, I think, a little bit with Sam Williams. They picked Sam Williams where they did. Maybe felt like they took him a little earlier than they wanted to, but they'd rather take him a little earlier than miss him later. So it kind of depends on which player falls where. I don't, and what they do earlier in the draft. I could definitely see them approaching their first pick and saying, we don't want to get stuck in a purgatory position where maybe we like a guy like Steve Avila and we don't want to, you know, lose out on him by the time our second round pick comes around. So we really need to jump on this now, even if we feel like it's maybe a little bit early for that. So, if they head into the draft with guard as their biggest need, which I think is what it stands at right now, given what we've heard about the offensive line, then that would be the position I think that is most vulnerable for them to potentially say, hey, we just got to get a guy here and we can't chance this, finding ourselves without one a little bit later.
Bobby, not at 26, but could they reach for a quarterback?
I don't think so. I think it's really hard to reach for a quarterback ever in terms of, like, whenever you take one, I think you're buying a lottery ticket and you're trying to throw a dart there. You're trying to make an investment, no matter where it is. If you're picking one in the seventh round or the first round, it's some type of investment that you're making. And so I don't ever really fault teams for trying to gamble on quarterbacks. I don't know that it'd be a wise use of resources if they were to pick one in the first round, no matter who it is sitting there. Anytime after that, if they think this is a really good player and one that we need to take a chance on, I just always have a hard time calling quarterbacks a reach because I think you're trying to invest in the most important position in all of sports.
Well, I meant in a reach in a way that we traditionally would think them fourth, fifth round, maybe. Maybe they go in the second or the third.
Sure.
That's
depending
what I meant
depending on who it may be.
Earlier, yeah.
Depending on who it may be, but I think it'd be more likely that if they're picking one in the second or third round, it's not that they're reaching for one that would belong more in the fourth or fifth. I think it's that they're trying to snatch one that they think shouldn't be there. So I think they're more likely to pick a quarterback earlier in the draft out of a belief that the value is too high rather than let's get a guy now so we don't miss one.
Okay, speaking of value and getting a guy now, four big quarterback coming up for contracts. Do the Cowboys have any hope of getting a deal done with Todd France and Dak before all four of those are done and maybe trying to save a little bit of money before this thing grows too much?
Man, I think, you know, we're going to fall asleep one night and wake up and a deal is going to be sitting right in front of us.
In 2025?
So, yeah, I mean, there's no telling what our sleep cycle will bring us. So, the contract fairy may drop one under Steven's pillow and he'll be like, oh, here we go. Yeah, we're all set. The way they're talking about it sounds like they haven't had many conversations at all. So I think they would like to get something done. And I think they just recognize, as Michael Galkin told us on the morning show earlier this week, it is we've seen such a tough history of their negotiations that it's really difficult to predict it's going to get done just because there's, you know, maybe want to on both sides. And so, I think they're hopeful they can get something done, but I don't know that they'd be willing to place a bet on it either way because it was a very tough negotiation last time, and it probably will be again this time.
A year and a half, 2 years max. The ones before this, I think I went through three of them in less than 2 years. You know, so I'm a little – and I'm not a risque type of surfer on my laptop.
You're not going on crazy websites.
No, I don't. To me,
you got the cell phone for that.
It's like an old smartphone or an old laptop. Right, I'm not using my daily driver laptop for, anything like that.
Honestly,
even if I wanted to do something like that, this obviously would not be the piece of equipment. So I'm confused. I'm stunned. I can't believe old Betsy has let me down here. It's the end of the line. It's giving me warning signs right now. It's giving me the opportunity to buy a new one and get everything transferred over before it completely goes tees up.
That's all you can ask for, man. All you can ask for. It sounds like old Betty had herself a good run.
Oh, back Betty.
Would you guys ask for Draymond Green if he became available in a trade? Kyrie Irving. That would make sense, wouldn't it?
Wow.
What if everybody over there can't get up to play because, as Brian told us a couple of days ago, everybody knows they're in the middle of a rebuild. And the role players know they ain't going to be around. LeBron had a hard time getting his Lakers teammates to play when he was trying to trade them when they knew they weren't longtime guys. They were just trade chips for LeBron. To me, that could explain how things went so horribly wrong that the Mavs have a big plan and man, teams are so good at keeping those kind of secrets from us, Brian.
Boy, the more that I think about this, when you say about Bill Simmons says LeBron, do you think Kyrie is telling LeBron this is a good place to be? I mean, I know we're critical of ownership.
You playing the Boston connection there on Bill and Kyrie with me?
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking that maybe Kyrie is like, you know what, this Dallas place ain't bad. We're not winning right now.
Yeah.
But they do take care of us. Jason Kidd, I mean, I have a good relationship with him.
So does LeBron.
Yeah, with Nico. I have a good relationship with him. Do you think that maybe behind the scenes that Kyrie's recruiting LeBron?
That would be crazy,
Why
would you come to the Mavs instead of go to the Lakers? Because if we go to the Lakers, they're going to have to trade all their good players for us, and we'll be stranded here in L.A.
Right.
We are where we want to be, but we'll have no shot.
Right.
If you want to go to where the role players are, take the trash that the Mavs have to offer and all of their future picks for LeBron, and then we'll figure something else out for Draymond Green. That's more doable probably against the salary cap from the Mavs' perspective add and still be competitive.
I wonder if Kyrie is really liking this place. Yeah. I wonder if he's like it because the media is not being like brutal to him here or anything like that, right?
No, we're going out of our way.
Even though they're losing games and even though we're talking about him and Luka, how it's not working out, I wonder if Kyrie's like, man, this is not a bad spot. We can do some things here.
Yeah.
The problem is we just don't have it right now.
Right.
We got a bunch of jobbers. That we need to kind of work on here.
But he can see the makings, and he's insulated with people that he's close with in Jason Kidd and Nico, and maybe he does have, though it's not working in the way of victories, but maybe he's got that good relationship with Luka, LeBron, Luka, Kyrie.
I'm just throwing it out there because of Bill Simmons and that he's getting it from Kyrie that, hey, we're losing games, but
right.
This place can, this place can turn it around.
It's interesting. I mean, that's a fun idea, and I like it. I mean, it's something that we threw out there, maybe a month ago. Why wouldn't LeBron just say F LA? Oh, this has not worked out. He's given them the benefit of the doubt much longer than he's given any other franchise that he's played with, whether it was Cleveland or Miami. And does he just say it's easier for me to leave and go play with Luka, whom he admires, and Kyrie? But I mean, we talked.
But then
about
throw in his son too.
Yeah, the family and everybody's in L.A. and
that's
Bryce
why
is
I
only
have some,
a sophomore.
I have hesitation because of all the things outside of basketball.
Man, we play some big time Texas basketball.
We
guys.
Do,
no question.
We do.
If he's interested in that, I mean, you look at one Texas high school basketball with Duncanville has been outstanding. South Oak Cliff's been good. Kimball just won a state championship. We got a lot here.
I mean,
locally
you got well, okay. If he's a private school guy, that school up Prestonwood Christian,
sure.
People like that out there. I mean, I just wonder if it's a deal where I know it's going to be hard to pry LeBron out of California, but maybe it's one of those things where Kyrie can recruit him.
That's the thing about Kyrie. That's why you go ahead and you swing and you try and get him.
You get a championship with a fourth different franchise if you're LeBron.
Be crazy.
Right.
You get a great tax break and you can fly to L.A. all the time. you know, or you could move your family here. You know, why not pick up some Texas real estate like Shaq and Dion and a number of other professional athletes have done over the years? There's no problem in having a
certainly
home base
exciting.
Here as well.
I mean, all of a sudden our Mavericks optimism. Would
I was
go
just
from zero
I was swinging at the fences
quick.
Because
no Bill
why
Simmons
would Bill
is.
Simmons yeah, but why would Bill Simmons say that?
You know, why, Bill Simmons does tend to do that at times, where he can be a clickbait
guy. He likes to
guy.
Yeah, he likes to sort of theorize on interesting stuff. But he's also well connected.
He is
and
very
he's from
well
Boston.
He is.
Yeah.
And he's been an NBA guy forever. So
right.
it's also very possible that he's hearing that maybe that's the latest scuttlebutt that's going to be coming
fun.
Down the pike. And after Draymond Green inspired the Warriors like in a way last night to come back and beat the Pelicans, they were down 20. And I had a hell of a game. I would just love that kind of heart and soul presence on this team. I think it absolutely would have a Tyson Chandler-like impact.
Oh.
What Draymond could do for Luka, what Tyson Chandler did for Dirk Nowitzki. It's time now for Wolchuk to give us the top 10 questions going into this Rangers season, which is underway tomorrow. Pregame 2:30, first pitch 3 o'clock here on your home of the Rangers. Wolchuk.
Thank you, and sorry to the Twolos. We got knocked out of the Twitch on our Zoom here. We're trying to get back in there. So just bear with us on that if you're watching us. We love you, and we appreciate you. So the Athletic had some Rangers burning questions ahead of opening day tomorrow. Can you believe it? When you get to first place votes amongst Athletic beat writers, not a single person gave the Rangers a first place vote. Somebody did, however, give the LA Angels a first place nod in the Athletic circles. They got a 3.2% of the vote. The Mariners got a 12.9% of the vote, and then the Astros, of course, leading the way with 83.9%. Nobody gave a vote to the Rangers or the Athletics, and Keith Law of the Athletic, not quite as bullish as ESPN was, saying the Rangers season projection, he's going 80-82, which would be just shy of the over. So I think Keith Law, you're a bleephole.
Yeah, I'm going to pull that press pass, man. That's I don't know where this guy thinks he's getting off, or maybe it's the Athletic in general with nobody voting for the Rangers to win that division. I'm surprised. Somebody's sleeping, or we're underrepresented.
Yeah, and I don't think the Rangers will, but I will say, you know, earlier when we were talking with our guy from ESPN,
David Schoenfield,
and he said, you know, the Astros have a lot of – they're a little thin
thin.
Roster.
That's
you
what
know,
he
you
said.
Have a couple of injuries.
That's what he said.
That could open some stuff
nobody
up.
Nobody will believe that the champ's about to fall when the champ's been standing there for 7-8 years.
No.
You know, it was like when the Lakers lost to the Pistons and the Spurs in those years after their trilogy, it was always assumed they're going to pull this out because they were down to the Kings 3-2 and buried in game 6, and they hit that one. And they had other close calls, and it was always just like, well, they're the champs. You know, they're going to figure it out. I think that's where everybody is missing on this American League West this year.
Yeah.
The Rangers have added way too many good players. They're in it to win it now. They have a great GM and a great manager. And if the team's not good enough in the first 6-8 weeks, they'll add. They're not going to spend all of this money and do all this and let the roster die if it's not complete. If there's a gaping hole that's holding them back in every single series, they're going to fix that by the time we get to August 1st.
Yeah, I mean, I really think the only thing that would hold them back is the health. Like, that's the interesting thing about the season is the volatility here is huge because if you strike gold with some health stuff in the rotation, I think the offense is going to be there this year.
I mean, they were a top five offense last year, and I think Robbie Grossman will help. Josh Young should help. You just got to hope that
Seager's
Jonah Heim
better.
And Nathaniel Lowe carry over career years that they had last year.
And what do you think's more likely on that one? Probably Heim because he's still young and ascending, and Nathaniel Lowe is
– I think Lowe is also young. I think Lowe is more likely than Heim. But Jonah's looked good in the spring too. I think both can go ahead and perform. But I would put – if I had to bet, like, you know, we do BetQL – I'd go on Nathaniel Lowe to be better offensively than Jonah.
Certainly better than him, yes.
But Mitch Garver was hurt last year, and you add his bat back to the lineup, and he's going to platoon with Jonah at catcher.
Right, right.
You know who else is going to be at the ballpark? George W.
Is
Bush.
Is he throwing out
He was a mainstay 10 years ago. But I don't know if he's throwing out the first pitch. I do know Greg Abbott's going to be there. He might head on out to that mound and let one fly as well, as he's known to do.
Dang right.
8 members of the Texas Rangers Hall of Fame and the commish Rob Manfred will be there tomorrow.
Oh, is he really?
So I know, you know, being a great baseball reporter and pre- and post-game show host, you're probably going to want to get in that scrum and ask Rob a bunch of important questions
tomorrow.
Oh,
of course. I'll be in there asking all of the important questions, like, hey, what do you think about that piece of metal that they gave away for the World Baseball Classic? Was it as useless as the piece of junk metal that you get when you win the World Series, Rob?
What is a hard-hitting question.
I can't stand Rob Manfred. I think that he's the worst commissioner in all of sports, and it's not even close. Team MVP, who do you think it'll be? Well, they're going Corey Seager. We've been saying for months that the shift restrictions will help Seager maybe even more than anyone else in the league. That's been true in Cactus League play. And even if Jacob deGrom stays healthy, the guy playing shortstop every day should have more opportunities to help the team. Not only was Corey impacted most by the new rules, so is Martin Perez. And they write here that when it comes to Perez, he thrives on ground balls, and he always has. His 7.7 Ks per nine innings in 2022 tied a career high from the year before, but it wouldn't be a surprise to see his numbers take a hit as a few more grounders sneak through. So as we're really excited about what that could mean for Corey Seager's stats, that is something to know. Your ace last year, your all-star in Martin Perez, he lives by the ground ball outs, and you might not get as many of those this year without the shift. So that's kind of then negative when you look at that. But I think Martin's looked fantastic in the spring, and you look at the new pitching coaches. You get Maddox back in here. I think his K rate might just go ahead and skyrocket as well.
I mean, Martin Perez was one of the best pitchers around last year. You add that with what they've added this season. If we know Perez is going to be a continuation of last year, that's just another reason to be incredibly optimistic about what we're at ready to see.
So the morning news did something fun, and they went ahead and tried to predict the Rangers' win totals by month. So they looked at March and April. They said the key series to look at is going to be the Astros from April 14th to the 16th. Guys, I don't know. I mean, we knew the Rangers struggled against the Astros, but when you look at the numbers of how bad they were, especially under Chris Woodward, 4-27 under Chris Woodward against the Astros.
It got real ugly.
Won four times versus the Astros in his entire time
in Houston.
Okay.
Got really bad down there for him.
And that's the April 14th through 16th series is going to be at Minute Maid Park. But otherwise, since 2019, the Rangers are just 5-29 at Minute Maid Park. It's really, really bad. They're going with 18-10 as their predicted win total for April and March.
Astros had to get some statistical anomaly revenge after we stole the division from them in 15-16.
Well, I'm getting sick and tired of that bleeping revenge right now.
It's about to swing our way. We've made it through the worst of it.
Would we feel good about that, 18-10?
I feel great about
that. I think we'd feel
absolutely
pretty damn strong.
All right, looking into May.
Zooming.
Rangers have a three-city road trip with two of them bookending a week-long mid-month homestand in May. They simply hope to survive three-city trips, and that would be a big step forward for the Rangers, who have the third-worst road record in baseball at 64-128 over the last three seasons. Look, they're going to hopefully erase that. They're predicting 15-12 when you look at the month of May. We move ahead to June. Circle your key series against the Cardinals, June 5th to the 7th. Not so much a key here, but it's just rare to see the Cardinals. And the Cardinals have only been to Arlington twice during the regular season, back in 2004 and again in 2019. So that's going to be a hot commodity. You also have pitching coach Mike Maddox, who came over from the Cardinals. He knows that staff very well.
Oh,
they're going 15-13.
We got Maddox back.
For the month of June. Yeah, we got Maddox back.
Hello.
That's worth at least 10 wins.
Now, here's where they say they're going to struggle. July. Month of July. They fall to 10-14. Key number here is 4. The Rangers selection, the first round of the amateur draft that begins on July 9th in Seattle. They will draft in July, but they fall back. Why? They got a big series against Houston. Houston, again, kicks the Rangers' butts. August, Rangers jump back up to a winning record at 15-12. And you look at September, they fall to 13-15, but they're giving them an overall record of 86-76. That's 10 games over 500. That's hitting the over. And second place in the AL West, we're going to the playoffs.
Mo money.
Card.
Wow, bro.
Oof. And wait till you see what they do with this bullpen by the time we
mo
get to
money,
mid-season.
Mo money.
Start adding some more arms. That's going to be great.
Let the good times roll.
That little car song there.
That's right. Opening day tomorrow, 3 o'clock, first pitch, 2:30 pregame right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Rally House in Arlington off 20. You want to get some range Rangers gear, don't you? Yeah, you want to be properly geared up for opening day. This is the place to be to do exactly that. And we're back with our number five.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.